Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 14, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
All right, you got the announcement last night. Some of you weren't here, so we'll make that announcement again. There will be an evangelism committee meeting in the big classroom after class tonight. Okay? Evangelism committee meeting in the big classroom after class tonight. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that manna from heaven, that spiritual food that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, existential threat. From a biblical perspective, few things could be more dangerous for a nation than to facilitate an existential threat against Israel. Existential threat means a threat to the very existence of something. Reserve Brigadier General Amir Avivi, founder of the Israel Defense and Security Forum, recently called the expected restart of the Iran nuclear agreement a, quote, future existential threat to Israel. Well, who started it? Biden, this administration. This is anti-Semitism to the greatest. That's what I said. I haven't seen one thing they have done, not one, that lines up with the scriptures whether it's establishment truth, gospel truth, or doctrine truth. Not one thing. This is pure anti-Semitism. According to the Bible, God will protect Israel from all existential threats. And in that sense, I'm not concerned about Israel. Israel is going to survive. Not to worry about Israel. But I am concerned about the United States of America. We're not going to survive. Israel is going to survive. Israel will be in the tribulation. Israel will be in the millennial kingdom. There's nowhere, anywhere in the Bible that says the United States of America is going to be here at all. And you say, oh, we are a great, powerful nation. We're doing our damnedest to destroy ourselves. I am concerned about the United States of America. Why would we make an agreement guaranteeing a nuclear Iran by 2031? Why would we do that to Israel? Why would we do that to the world? Why would we do that to ourselves? And this does not mean that I condone everything Israel does today, all the laws it passes or leaders it elects. God said that he would first draw the Israeli people back to the promised land, and then he would bring about a miraculous change in their hearts. That national change of heart is going to take place in the last of the last days. As a nation today, however, they are no more God-fearing than the United States, and we're not God-fearing at all. But God promised to look after Israel even before their national transformation. Those who dismiss the Bible's perspective, you know, poo-poo God and His Word, should still understand the danger of renewing the Iran nuclear agreement. Iran has an ally, North Korea. North Korea has already shown its ability to build hydrogen bombs. It has also developed intercontinental ballistic missiles capable of reaching anywhere in the United States of America. Now, North Korea is a failed state. They have poured all their money, all their resources, everything into a weapons technology whose use would mean their utter destruction. And because they do not want to commit national suicide, they are left with weapons having only one military use: bluff. But there is also an economic use. Such technology can be and is being sold. A renewal of the nuclear deal will give Iran vast amounts of money. That will allow them to increase their terror operations around the world. And ironically, it will give them the means to buy the very technologies we do not want them to have. North Korea's desperation makes it a ready seller. At least 9 nations have a stockpile of nuclear weapons. 59 other nations are known to have the material, means, and technology needed to build such weapons. Since their initial use in 1945, the nations have refrained from using them. But Iran is different. It proclaims itself the Islamic Republic of Iran. Its supreme leader is a religious leader. The devotion he demands is a passionate religious devotion. Iran sees itself as part of a religious war where suicide bombers are the norm. While many faiths believe in coming judgment, Iran wants to push things along, speed things up. In 2019, senior Iranian Ayatollah Mohammad Mehdi Mirbagheri, I didn't know if I was going to get that out or not. Why can't they just be Tom Smith, you know? The Iranian Ayatollah Mohammad Mehdi Mirbagheri said that in order for the Shia Muslim Messiah to appear, the Shia Muslim Messiah, they have their Messiah, for him to appear, quote, we must engage in widespread fighting with the West, unquote. The world needs oil. We want to get it from everywhere. We don't want to drill and get it from ourselves. We have all oil we need right here in America, but we're too stupid. We're going to have everybody electrified. And windmills. Don Quixote. Here we go. It's stupid. The United States of America puts the fear of God in all the nation world because of a windmill and electric cars. The world needs Iran's oil right now, but that need does not justify a nuclear armed Iran. The Bible says that in the future, Iran will be one of the leaders of a major war against Israel. That war will not succeed because God will intervene on Israel's behalf. God always intervenes on Israel's behalf. Israel is the apple of God's eye. But does the United States want to be one of the nations that helps arm Iran for such a war against Israel? Genesis 12:3, God says, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. That is divine judgment. God will bring divine judgment on any nation that curses Israel or does anything to try to destroy Israel. That's what I say. We are going out of our way to destroy ourselves. We are quickly approaching the fourth cycle of national discipline, or we are in it. Economic disaster is right on our doorstep. That's the fourth cycle of national discipline. What comes after that? Fourth cycle of national discipline is economic disaster. The fifth cycle of national discipline is military disaster. And what are we doing? We are going to arm one of the greatest terrorist nations in the world with nuclear weapons, and they will buy all the technology from the ballistic missiles from North Korea, and they can send it right into your backyard. Military disaster. And frankly, I don't know how we're going to go out, but I know one thing, we're going out. There is no United States of America in the tribulation. None. Now, the tribulation won't take place until the rapture occurs. When's the rapture going to occur? Well, if you want, just personally, come into my office. And I'll say, go home, because you might hear it happen before you go to bed tonight. Now, it won't happen until Charlie gets his elk. He's been really throwing the prayers up, and God says, okay, Charlie. Actually, he said, screw you, Charlie. It's going to happen exactly when I say it's going to happen. But I think you're going to get your elk. And Cliff's going to put it on his head and carry it out. So make sure you take lots of pictures of that. I don't know what Jerry's going to do, but he's going to be there anyway. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We have a great section right now. It's on glory. And it's contrasting a glory that is a fading glory with a glory that is an increasing glory. It's a great section. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. First of all, we see the phenomenal grace orientation and genuine humility of the greatest human genius of all time, the Apostle Paul, in verse 5. Absolutely not that we, this is Paul, Timothy, Titus, absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves because of who and what we are. But our capability and competence comes from God, the grace and the power of God. The Apostle Paul is very likely the greatest human genius in all of human history. Yet, the Apostle Paul had the greatest genuine humility and grace orientation. In Paul's thinking, God was everything. And he, Paul, was nothing. And that's where I hope all of you get to that point in your spiritual life, where in your thinking every single day, all day long, that God is everything and you are absolutely nothing. You're not even worthy of one solitary blessing. And yet God graces you out because of who and what he is, not who and what you are. In Paul's thinking, God was everything and Paul was nothing. Paul lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advanced the spiritual maturity and grace righteousness. He had maximum grace righteous production as a spiritually mature believer. He lived his life by the grace and the power of God, not by his own human genius or talent or ability. Paul was totally impressed with who and what God is. He was not impressed with who and what Paul is. Paul taught the grace gospel and the grace and truth of the Word of God, totally by the grace and power of God, the filling of the Spirit, and maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. And then verse 6. Who, God the Father, has qualified us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, has qualified us as ministers of a new covenant. Absolutely not of the letter, the Mosaic law, but of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Mosaic law kills. The purpose of the Mosaic Law is condemnation. The Mosaic Law shows us that we are all sinners, that the whole world, we are sinners, spiritually dead. That's Codex number one. Romans 3, 19 and 20, James 2, 10. The Mosaic Law tells us that we need a Savior and points us to the Lord Jesus Christ in shadow, Christology, and soteriology. Codex number 2, Romans 3, 21 and 22. But the Spirit gives life. God the Holy Spirit is the power for regeneration, spiritual birth. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. The universal indwelling of the Spirit in every church age believer is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Never lived before until Jesus Christ in hypostatic union lived the unique spiritual life for the very first time. In all of human history, the first person was Jesus Christ. Then he passed it on to the royal family of God as the spiritual life for us to live. The power of the filling of the Spirit enables every church age believer to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, advance to spiritual maturity, become grace righteous believers, and glorify God to the maximum. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, the Mosaic Law, in letters engraved on stones, were with a glory. First class condition, and the Mosaic Law does have a glory. With the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory, however, was a fading glory. Fading away, a fading glory. And the key word here in verse 7 is katargao. K-A-T-A-R-G-E, long O. Katargao. And katargao, literally, it means to abrogate, to cancel, to nullify, to abolish. In the passive voice, and that's what we have here is the passive voice, it means to pass away, to fade out. The glory and the radiance on Moses' face as he came down from Mount Sinai, it was radiant, glorious. His face shone. He'd just been speaking face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, been given the Mosaic Law. And as he came down with that law given to him by the Lord, his face had a glory. All the way down the mountain it had a glory. The Israelites couldn't even look at them. Then he got down there and he started teaching them what the Lord had given them. And all the time he was teaching, his face was radiant, glorious. When he finished teaching, the glory faded away. So he put a veil over his face. Put the veil over his face, went back up Mount Sinai and got the next lesson. Again, he came down, veil was down, his face was glorious, came down the mountain, taught again, face was glorious. When he finished teaching, the glory faded away, put the veil back up, went up for the third lesson. So the glory, the radiance on Moses' face received the action of fading away. This is a fading glory. This was the glory that Moses had as he came down from Mount Sinai, and a glory he had while he was teaching the Mosaic Law given to him by the Lord. But once Moses finished, the glory faded away, so Moses put a veil over his face. There is a glory. There is a glory that belongs to the Mosaic Law, but it was a fading glory. However, there is a far, far greater glory that belongs to the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit as the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And as we're going to see in our passage, this is an increasing glory. The contrast between the fading glory of the age of Israel and the Mosaic Law with the increasing glory of the church age, the universal indwelling of the Spirit and filling of the Spirit to live the unique spiritual life. Now, if the ministry, verse 7 again, now if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones were with a glory, first class condition, and it came with glory, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory was a fading glory, was fading away. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. Turn back to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, let's start at verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant. Glory. It had a glory. Radiance. That's one of the translations of the word for glory. Because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, glorious, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. And afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. Had a Bible class. Verse 33. When Moses finished teaching them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, had another teaching class, they saw that his face was radiant again. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord again. One, the Mosaic Law had a glory. The Mosaic Law had a glory. Two, it had a glory because it is a part of the Word of God. It had a glory because it is a part of the Word of God. Three, however, this glory was a fading glory. The Mosaic Law is a fading glory. Four, the glory of the Mosaic Law has been superseded by the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. The glory of the Mosaic Law has been superseded by the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. And Paul is just getting started in it here in this paragraph. But when he gets to the end of chapter 3, he comes to its conclusion and culmination. It's powerful when we get to the end of chapter 3. Verse 8, verse 17 and verse 18. So the glory of the Mosaic Law has been superseded by the glory of the Spirit of God in the church age. 5. In the church age, we have a grace glory. We have a grace glory based on the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. In the church age, we have a grace glory based on the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. Six, this serves as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, which enables the church age believer to live the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This serves as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, which enables the church age believer to live this unique spiritual life that Jesus Christ lived in his true humanity by the spiritual skills. Seven, the power of the Spirit of God to live the unique spiritual life is a grace glory, and it is an increasing glory. The Mosaic Law is a fading glory. The power of the Spirit of God to live the unique spiritual life is a grace glory, and it is an increasing glory. So again, verse 7. Now if the ministry of death, the Mosaic Law, and letters engraved on stones were with glory, came with glory, and it did, first class condition, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory was a fading glory, fading away. Now, verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious? We have the interrogative particle post plus the future active indicative of the to-be verb eimi with the objective negative uki plus the nominative singular of diakonia with the definite article plus the genitive singular of pneuma with the definite article plus the adverb malon with the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular doxa. Now, Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 739. When we have the interrogative particle posts, when we have the interrogative particle posts accompanied by a negative, which we do, uki, almost transliterated, O-U-C-H-I. You probably call it ouchie. Post-uki. When the interrogative particle post is accompanied by the negative uki, as it is in our verse, then it is correctly translated most certainly, so that's how we are going to translate it, most certainly. And then we have hey diakonia to pneumatos. That's the definite article. Hey, diakonia. This is the genitive article and the genitive singular pneuma. I'll give it to you as it is in the genitive. To pneumatos. Hey, diakonia, to pneumatos, the ministry of the Spirit. Here's the ministry of genitive of the Spirit. And then we have the future tense of aimi, will be, and then the adverb malon. M-A-L-L-O-N. This is the comparative of mala, and you translate it. Mala is great, malon is greater, to a greater degree, with even more, to a greater degree or with even more, and then N plus the dative singular of doxa. N plus the dative of doxa. D-O-K-S-A. Doxa, this is in the dative sphere, in the sphere of doxa glory. In the sphere of even more glory. In the sphere of even more glory, with even more glory, in the sphere of even more glory. So, this says, most certainly, after what we had, the fading glory in verse 7, now in contrast in verse 8, most certainly the ministry of the Spirit will be with even more glory, in the sphere of even more glory, even more glorious. So verse 7, the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. Verse 8, the even more glorious of the ministry of the Spirit in the church age. All right, 1. While the age of Israel had a glory, it was a fading glory. The fading glory of the Mosaic Law. While the age of Israel had a glory, it was a fading glory, the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. Two, but in the church age, we have malon. We have malon en doxe, more glory, a greater glory, malon greater, mala great, malon greater, malista greatest. But we have comparative, malon greater, greater glory. But in the church age, we have a malon and doxe, a greater glory, far more glory. 3. We have the more glory of the universal indwelling of the Spirit of God in every church age believer. You know, this is true. true of every church age believer. I will dare say most believers have no understanding of what that means. What that means. That's sad. But we have most Christians in America are living in Satan's cosmic system. They don't even care what that means. God and the Word of God is not important. Everything else is more important. And so they have no clue as to what a phenomenal thing that it's never occurred in human history. Never occurred before. Until in the true humanity of Christ and now in the church age. Never occurred before. David didn't have it. Jeremiah didn't have it. Moses didn't have it. None of the boys had it in the Old Testament. But you do. You do. Every one of you sitting here. You have it. God the Holy Spirit has indwelt you. God the Holy Spirit to make your body a temple for the Shekinah glory. Jesus Christ to dwell inside of you. And that universal indwelling of the Spirit is so that you can be filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered. Spiritual skill number one, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. That's the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. In grace perspicacity, combined with spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Pastor-teacher by itself, worthless. Holy Spirit doesn't operate by himself. Pastor-teacher and Holy Spirit work together in grace perspicacity so you can get the absolute truth of the Word of God from the printed page of the Bible right here in your heart. Now you got the powerful Word of God in your heart. You have a glory far, far greater than the glory of the Old Testament and the Mosaic Law. And you know, we're going to see it when we get the culmination of this, verses 17 and verses 18. I was going to just go ahead and read, take you there. If I don't get to my notes, I'm going to take you to the verses 17 and 18. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. We have the more glory of the universal indwelling of the Spirit of God in every church age believer. For we have the more glory of the unique spiritual life, which can only be lived by the grace and power of God. Point four. We have the more glory of the unique spiritual life, which can only be lived by the grace and the power of God. You can't live the unique spiritual life by your ability or your talent, energy of the flesh. It's impossible. But that's how the only way most believers today operate is by energy of the flesh. They're living in the cosmic system. They're controlled by the sin nature. Whatever human ability and talent they have, they think that's pretty fantastic, but it's not. Not in God's eyes, it's not fantastic at all. We have the more glory of the unique spiritual life, which can only be lived by the grace and the power of God. Five. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life and demands a supernatural power for its execution. The power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God. Metabolized doctrine in the heart, that's the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life and demands a supernatural power for its execution. The power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number one, the power of the Word of God, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine in the heart, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two. 6, there is a glamour. There is even a glamour and glory that belongs to the ruler of this world, Satan. Is said to have a glory. Turn over to Ezekiel 28. And oh boy, there's a lot of people in the world that are impressed with the glory of the devil, Satan. Ezekiel 28. Now, in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 15, we have Lucifer before his fall. In perfection. He was created perfect by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ created everything. The universe, all creatures, all angels. And Lucifer was a perfect angel. And one of the most glorious, radiant, beautiful angels in all of creation. Now in verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre. Well, as is the case many times in the word of God, there's something that this applies to right then and but it also applies in its full fulfillment in a far deeper way in another area, and that is here. Yeah, the king of Tyre is the person right at the time of Ezekiel, but this full fulfillment is looking at Lucifer, Satan, or the devil. Take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And then we have, all of this is describing, in verses 11 to 15, Satan in his perfection before his fall. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. He guarded the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is before the fall. He's an angel created by God in perfection. You were the anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways. From the day you were created, you were blameless and perfect. Until, at the very end, we have the fall of Satan. Till arrogance was found in you. That was his fall. His sin was arrogance. Now, verses 16 to 19, Satan after his fall. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom. Because of your glory, translated splendor there, that's the word glory. Because of your glory. Satan has a glory. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end, and you will be no more. So there is a glamour and glory that belongs to the ruler of this world. Satan has a glory. Ezekiel 28, 11 to 19, 7. Satan has a glamour and glory that caused millions and millions of angels to follow him in his revolution and rebellion against God. Satan has a glamour and glory that caused millions and millions of angels to follow him in his revolution and rebellion against God. One third of all the angels followed Satan. He was glamorous. He was glorious. He was the covering cherub. And one third of the angels joined him in the revolution and rebellion against God. 8. However, you, the church age believer, sitting here in Upland Bible Church and then all over the country in different places of the world, you have a glory and a glamour greater than any splendor and glory that Satan has. You have a glory and a glamour greater than any splendor and glory that Satan has. You have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit that makes your body a temple for the Shekinah glory. Jesus Christ to dwell inside of you and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity indwells you. Nine, Satan's glory, we'll make a comparison here. Satan's glory is like the glory of a match. Your glory is the brightest spotlight because you are indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Satan's glory is a match compared to your glory, which is the greatest spotlight, because you are indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 10. Your glory is a spotlight because you have been given the unique spiritual life of the church age, which enables you to have Jesus Christ formed in you to manifest the glory of Christ in your life. Your glory is a spotlight because you have been given the unique spiritual life of the church age, which enables you to manifest the glory of Christ. Manifest the glory of Christ in your life. 11. As we live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, we are transformed from glory to glory. As we live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, we are transformed from glory to glory. Now I'll give you a preview of the end of this chapter, which is just amazing. Verse 18, but we all, royal family of God, church age, all church age believers, with an unveiled face. This is spiritual freedom, which includes positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life, beholding as in a mirror, the Word of God, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. But we all, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit, beholding as in a mirror the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. This is Galatians 4:19. Transformed from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Jesus Christ being formed in you. Being transformed into the same image. Galatians 4:19. From glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Jesus Christ being formed in you. Just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. That's the power source. The indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, to transform you from glory, the glory of Jesus Christ, to glory, Jesus Christ being formed in you. So he's just getting warmed up here in verses 7 and 8. Wait till we get to 17 and 18. You have to fasten your seatbelt. That's all I can say. Don't want to lose anybody. So as we live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, we are transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 12. The glory of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ is produced in you and through you by living the spiritual life. The glory of the character of Jesus Christ is produced in you and through you by living the spiritual life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. What is this? The character of Christ. It produces the fruit of the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, produces the character of Christ in you and through you as you live the spiritual life. And you're a spotlight. You are a spotlight for the world. The world is in darkness. America is in darkness. And you get to be, well, in the plan of God, a brilliant spotlight. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. It's produced in you and through you. Love, virtue love, joy, sharing the happiness of God. That's the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. All of those are summarized in the first word, agape, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. So the glory of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ is produced in you and through you by living the spiritual life, just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life in his true humanity. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of Christ being produced in you and through you. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, brings out the very glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the believer. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, verses 7 and 8, notice the contrast. From the fading glory to the increasing, far more glorious glory. Verse 7, now if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones were with glory, came with glory, first class condition, and it did, with the result that the sons of Israel were not able to look intently at the face of Moses, which glory, however, was fading away, a fading glory. Most certainly then, verse 8, the ministry of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit in the church age, will be with even more glory, greater glory, even more glorious. That's where we are. We're in the more glorious. Wahoo! That's all of you. You all have it. Very few believers appreciate it, even have no idea what that means. But you should. You should. It's awesome. This little spotlight of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.